us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife with me.
Hello, Thrive family. We're back.
And we are digging into a subject that we both have had to work hard to get a hold of, and it makes all the difference in your marriage.
It does.
Your what?
Words.
Your words.
They're important.
Think about this. Mouth and marriage. Mouth and marriage. Mouth and marriage.
That's good, baby.
M&M, these two things go together. Sometimes we think of all kinds of other things in marriage as far as what would destroy it and what would make it better before we ever think, oh, maybe my words. Should I think about what my mouth is doing in my marriage? Whew. God's word, when we turn to the Bible, he does think that way. Let me talk to you about your mouth. So last show, we unpacked a phenomenal, sobering, word picture oriented section on mouth, where he said the tongue is like a fire that can ignite an entire forest and burn it down. And so we hope we've got your attention. If you just thought, whatever, you know, so I'm fast and loose with my words, no big deal. All I said was, some of you listening that are in a bad place, it's what you said, what you said, what you said, what you said, that has led you to the charred, black ground season of marriage. You burned it down with your mouth.
Yeah.
Don't hear us saying there's no hope for you.
Right.
But, oh, my goodness, it doesn't matter what else you begin to get right. If you keep using words wrong, you will just... So something new may begin to grow in your marriage. You realize your spouse, you can do something better. And then when you go back and do that thing you always do, you just burn it down.
Right.
And sometimes what you're doing is you're burning down any little sapling of good growth and life that begins to grow. And it's like you just threw a cigarette butt on it.
Right.
And it's gone. Mm-hmm. And then you say, but oh, I thought we were doing better here. You burned it down with your words. Mm-hmm. And so we want to take some time to give you some warnings and some guidance on... You might be sitting there, how could I get more control of my mouth? Me too. I told you in earlier shows, I memorized some verses and said, I've got to get a hold of this before I leave my dorm. It doesn't mean I was perfect. When I got married, I became even more aware. I need to get a hold of this some more because it's not an easy thing to do. So here's the first thing I want you to think about. Don't ever marginalize or minimize the sins of your mouth. The sins of your mouth are cigarette butts with orange glowing on the tip that you're tossing into your marriage. So this is huge. You don't want to be the person saying, I've never committed adultery and I'm not embezzling money. I'm just bad with my mouth. But it's no big deal. Listen, you'll never get control over your mouth if you keep treating it as something less than deadly serious. And you need to understand the Bible talks about our words in deadly, serious, and sobering ways. Can you think of another? In the earlier show, Vicky said there's 90 verses in Proverbs about the mouth.
Right.
What's one of your favorites, honey?
One of my favorites is Proverbs 18:21, and it could not be more serious when it says, I just love this, death and life, which we'll talk about a little more later, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Yeah. And I just think...
So in a sense, you're going to eat your words.
Yes. So it can be good or bad. Right.
You're going to have a harvest coming your way based on what you've been doing with words.
Right. And I just think I am still eating the fruit of a man named Bill Fogarty.
Yeah.
He was one of the pastors at my church at Sherwood Baptist in Albany, Georgia. And if we went back there right now...
You grew up there?
Yes, that's where I grew up.
Wow.
If, yeah, wow, it's a great place, isn't it? The Good Life City, Albany, the Good Life City.
And I would
has
agree.
A song. Anyway, so I could go back right now and tell you exactly where we were standing in the hallway. And it was me and maybe two other girls.
How old were you?
I was probably about 12. And
on a Sunday?
I don't remember what day it was. I just remember we were standing there, and somehow I said to him, it really bothers me that I'm so short. Because I think when you're that age, I mean, just everyone's like, how tall are you? I'm taller than you.
The tender middle school years.
Yes, yes, it's a rough time.
And you didn't have the Farrah Fawcett haircut
yet. No, not yet. So I was still struggling. But I just remember saying, it's always bothered me that I've always been the shortest person in my class. And he just looked at me with full confidence.
How old was he?
He's probably like 38, maybe. But he just said, you know what, Vicky, God made you. He designed your height, your eye color, your family of origin. And that was just so freeing because I've never forgotten that. And that just gave me so much hope that, wow, it just freed me. I mean, literally, that was when I was 12. And
I still remember
it. Remember that. Yeah, I should look him up and say, thank you, Pastor Fogarty, for your words of, you know, just intentionality. He probably had no idea, but that just spoke life to my soul. And I think that's what we need to know about our words.
Yeah.
We, you know, our words are going to have a harvest, but I want to have words that give life instead of death to those around us. And I think we can think back, okay, what is something that someone said to you that were, were death? It was like, just like...
right now, just pause and think. You may not be where you wish you were in your marriage, but depending on if you lived any time of life, right now, can you think of someone that just like Vicky, you still remember what they said to you that gave life?
Right.
So we don't want to just hear you saying, hear us saying, stop burning it down.
Right.
Oh, just turn it in a different direction.
Yes, it's such
words.
Power.
It's like, it's not like someone gave her $1,000. It's not so, like
you
someone gave her a car.
You have power of influence with your words.
It was free to Bill Fogarty. It cost him no money.
Exactly.
And his words impacted Vicky Dill to this day. That's what you can do in your marriage and with other relationships, right?
Right. I think especially like as moms or as a grandmother now, I want to speak life-giving words to those around me. And I think it's so easy. We want to address the behavior of our kids, the bad behavior, which you should be doing. But I just remember I used to try to think to myself, I want to catch my kids actually doing something good and address that and say, oh, and I like to try to, when I... Even now, when I'll meet a child at church or I'll see a child, I love speaking to children because they're important.
I do too.
And I just think, you know, it's like I want to encourage character instead of just saying, you have a pretty bow or I like your hair. I like to encourage character and say, you know, wow, you responded so well when your sister accidentally dropped your dinosaur Lego creation. Or, you know, you came the first time I called you as a mom, or you have such a happy smile. Those are character issues, and that's something that you want to encourage. So I just think, wow, our words have such power. Even just, you know, even small things. I know we've probably mentioned this before because it's something that I think we both try to do on a regular basis. But, you know, as you're at the store getting a drink, or you're at Walmart, or you're at Kroger checking out your groceries, how's your day been? Just start talking to someone. Words of life. Who has ever asked about their day? You know, I just think we are supposed to be God's ambassadors, God's representative, and God cares about people.
But to back it up to kids, I'm on the same page with you. I don't know if it's our season of life now, but I just absolutely love interacting with kids at church. For that same reason, there's sweet little kids that will come up to me. I'm thinking of a blonde-haired little young man. He's probably only 4 or 5. And he sits like in the third row on Sunday. Here I am. I'm doing a 52-minute sermon. And I
he's
mean,
sitting through it.
Oh.
Bless
and
his
I mean,
soul.
He will come right up to the edge of the stage. I'll hop down. And he always has cowboy boots on, but he always has a Bible
so
tucked under his arm. And I'll get down on his level, eye to eye. I've squatted down, and I'm just like, and I knew his name. So I'll say, Brooks, I'm so glad you're here today. I think he's going to remember that. And I'll say, and I'm so glad you have a Bible with you. Because I say to our people all the time, I want you to bring a Bible. I want you to know the Bible. You got to read the Bible. How much of it?
All of it.
And the people will shout, I think little Brooks is going to remember that. But it was so sweet recently. I'm preaching, doing a sermon series on prayer, and He said, I'm going to do, he said, that was a good sermon. I'm going to do what you talked about today. And so I said, oh, you're going to pray to God? He would love to hear from you. But he got more than that, because I had said, pray scripture. Hmm. He said, no, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to pray the Bible. I'm going to find a verse. That young man was listening. Mm. And I said, Brooks, God would love to hear from you. Similar to that comment from Bill Fogarty to Vicky, who knows how long he might remember that and be interested in talking to God, because his pastor said, God would love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. We're talking about words. Oh, almost everything in the Bible is always not just stop that, but it's always stop that so that you can do this instead. We're not trying to freak you out to where you say, safest thing would be to head into my day and just not talk. Right. Nope.
It's not what we're saying.
It's like words have incredible power. Read that verse again, Vicky, what it said from Proverbs 18.
Sure. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to keep trying to help you eat something better, because you are eating what you are sowing with your words. We would love for it to be sweeter than what you've experienced recently. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. They're talking about life and death and the power of your words. And the story that Vicky just told, that's something that's going to stick with me for a while. I mean, she's talking about a sentence, one sentence from a pastor when she was 12 years old. And decades later, she still remembers that. It still resonates with her. And that's something that didn't cost this man a thing, and it shaped her life. Listen, that's exactly the kind of thing that we're aiming for here at Fortis Institute. We have fellows from Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Todd Friel, Libby Glossett, Dr. Jason Lyle, and they're creating content that we're releasing every day. And you never really know what you're going to hear that's going to resonate with a person, like what this pastor said to Vicky that resonated with her. But that's what we're striving for. That's what we're aiming for. And it's going to hit each and every person a little bit differently. And that's why gospel partnership matters so much to us here at Fortis Institute. Now, if you don't know what a gospel partner is, they're the backbone of this ministry. They are ordinary people, men and women just like you, who've been impacted by something that they've heard here at Fortis Institute. And they decided that they wanted to stand with us so that more people in more places all over the world will also have access to all of this content that we're creating. And that is, right now, hundreds of hours of content that's available for free. And we're adding to that every single day. And recognize what I just said there. I said it is free. Everything we produce here at Fortis Institute, that's what it costs. It's free. We don't attach a price to it. We don't hide it behind a paywall. It is absolutely 100% free. Our gospel partners make sure of that, and we are grateful for them. And if you have been impacted, like I said, by something you've heard here and you want to join us as a gospel partner, well, of course, we would be honored to stand with you if you're, number one, giving to your local church, and number two, you wouldn't be burdened by joining us as a gospel partner, because we never want to put anyone in a situation where it would put a burden on them or their family. And of course, we never want to be in a situation where you're giving to us over your local church. So if those two areas of your life are looking good, then I want to send you to FortisInstitute.org right now to get an idea of what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And while you're out there on the internet exploring, make sure, if you haven't yet, to take the time to download Fortis Plus to your smartphone. You can also download it to your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org to use it anytime you want to use it. But Fortis Plus, we hope, is a staple, a daily staple in your life. And now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about words, and we're talking about words producing fruit that you're going to have to eat. And God's word chose to say it that way. Oh, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Some of you are loving what you're having to eat, and some of you are not enjoying it. It is bitter and hard to get down. Oh, we would love for you to taste something sweeter and better in your marriage. And a lot of that has to do with the way you're using words. Oh, the tongue has power, and it has power regarding ultimate things. That's why he set it up with life and death. And that's because words are never, get this, words are never neutral.
Uh-huh.
They're always having an effect. That either, you think about it, that either improved your relationship
right.
and made you
that's
feel closer,
a great way to look at it,
Brad. Or that caused you to take a step back. Uh-huh. So consider when you interact with your spouse,
yeah.
when the dust settles on that interaction, are they left wanting to take a couple mm-hmm. steps towards you?
Yeah.
Or are they left thinking, I'm going to pull back a little bit?
And I have to say, yay, Brad Bigney. He's gotten 100% better on this since we got married.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, he's just really good. When he senses I'm distressed or something's bothering me, he'll just, if you can see him now, he's smiling and
he's beaming.
He's beaming, yes. But he'll move toward me. And just, I mean, he knows me so well and say, let's talk about this. Let's try to, you know, and it's just nice to have someone to talk through, but he's so much better. His words now are so life-giving.
And that's by
yeah,
God's grace, you guys.
Huge.
I mean, full disclosure, here we're sitting recording some new episodes today. We had that kind of talk this morning.
Yeah.
I just sensed in my sweet Vicky that she has been really undone by some circumstances in life.
Uh-huh.
And instead of just plowing ahead thinking, well, we got to record some episodes today.
Right.
I drew her out uh-huh. and we probably talked an hour uh-huh. that we had not planned.
Right.
Because I care and I sensed she's not okay.
Yeah.
I want her to be okay. I want her to do better.
And
she's my wife.
That was just
and I
so
think,
life-giving to me.
But don't hear, oh, wow, yay, Brad. She married the right guy that already was wired this way.
He's learned
so
that.
Not.
Yeah.
But think about how many times we mention the Holy Spirit. We love the Bible
yeah.
and we love
wow.
the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit said to me in our first interactions in the kitchen as I was making coffee, she's
good
not
coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's not okay.
She's not okay,
check
folks.
On her. Draw her out.
It happens.
And I think at the end of our conversation, you felt closer to me.
Yes.
Rather than, I don't always get it right, but this is what we're talking about. Words
mm-hmm.
are never neutral.
Right. In fact, your words and my words are seeds that are being sown into the lives of everyone around us. So there's a harvest coming. It's just a question of what's it going to taste like? And, you know, I grew up in Georgia. Farms are close by, but it's not something we regularly see on a regular basis, a seed being planted and growing
yeah.
into soybean or whatever it is. But we just had a situation recently when we moved into a new house, just basically scrubby woods were behind us.
Ugh.
And we wanted to like,
scrubby.
There's nothing pretty about it. Yeah.
Yes.
Behind them, there were good woods, but
the
not
builder,
right here.
The builder gives you grass and landscaping
yeah, like
in the front.
Yeah, like 10 feet.
In the back,
it's pretty
it's just sad.
So we thought, hey, you know, we want to pay someone to move all this scrub brush, basically lots of dead trees. We want to have them push it back further, get rid of it, and we're going to plant grass seed. Sounds like a great idea, but you know what? It was a lot of work.
Oh.
Yeah, so my guy that planted it, they put down fresh dirt, seed, straw, couldn't see the seeds, where they said they were there. And they said, now this has to be watered for an hour every day for 3 weeks. Well, that was a problem because it's such a big area. I can't just use one sprinkler. So I had to buy
yeah.
two tripod sprinklers, set it up at the top of the hill, do it for an hour.
Our backyard's kind of steep.
Right. Then walk down to the bottom of the hill in my old tennis shoes and then set them up again, do it for an hour. And then guess what? When we go on vacation, yes, some poor neighbor.
Find a neighbor who
bless
will do
them.
This.
Yes. They're like, oh, no
like
way to where to get.
Good neighbor.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
Kevin is there.
Yes. I mean, we just moved here.
Kevin.
So we don't know anyone that well. We're having to ask them, oh, could you please? And I know it's very steep. It's muddy. I've already fallen twice trying to do this. But anyway, I was just, and literally.
Sweet Vic was lying in the mud and the seed next to her
twice.
Tripod.
Yes. I'm like, and then all the houses back up turn that people can see each other. I'm like, oh, how many of my neighbors
and
saw me fall?
You got to finagle and work pretty hard with the tripod because one leg needs to be shorter than the
yes,
other leg.
Yes,
because she's trying
you.
To set this up on an
3 weeks,
incline.
3 weeks, folks.
And yeah. then you got to make sure that when it goes, it's
and
actually
then,
hitting all your seeded.
And so you have to also line up two different hoses on
yeah.
two different sides of the house. Anyway, but then I just started having this bitter thought, like, I don't see any seeds coming up, and it's
yeah.
really ticking me off because I think they just basically. I mean, we weren't down there watching them throw seed out. They shortchanged us. They
yeah.
ripped us off. So I would walk down to the bottom and look for the grass seed. I couldn't find it. But you know what? One day, all of a sudden, little green sprouts started coming. And pretty soon, I mean, they did a fabulous
yeah.
job. it's all over the backyard. In fact, just last week, just for the fun of it, because we've had snow, it's gone now. I just walked my whole backyard. I'm like, look at all this grass. It was a lot of work, but basically, you think
what they sowed did come up, even if it didn't look like it would.
And, you know, that was a lot of effort to put in, and that's just grass seed. Yeah. And I think God wants us to take the same effort that we would do in making sure our grass comes up. Believe me, it was a lot of effort. But if you need any help, I've got it down now.
Yeah.
But he wants to take us to take that same effort with our words because
word seeds.
We're going to have a harvest, either life or death, in the power of the tongue.
So she took a lot of it was like the backyard became our newest child.
Yes.
It's like
I have five children, now I have six.
Another child.
Takes so much time and attention.
It was worth it. And so hear us, it's worth the effort.
Yes.
In being more conscious of seeds you're sowing and then being patient. You might be listening saying, all right, I've done the wrong thing and I've been trying to do the right thing.
Right.
I don't see any difference. I don't see, hey, you keep sowing the right kind of seed and you will begin to see little sprouts, but you can't toss a cigarette butt of a fiery word on top of that little seed. So, we want to take a little bit of time and say, we keep using this seed analogy. Like, what are some of the bad seeds that couples are sowing? We've been guilty of it, but we're trying to help other people. What is it that you want to stop sowing that so often is bringing you a harvest of fruit that you really don't want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
What comes to your mind, babe?
Well, I think one of the first ones is contempt. Just basically mocking, belittling, eye-rolling in words. Or this is also often considered the most damaging communication pattern, like sarcasm.
Yeah.
Your words, you mean to wound. Like, that's just, ooh.
And hear me, if you
really
know
hard.
Brad Bigney at all and Vicky, we love to laugh. We are
do.
Not against
We're a
humor.
Happy couple.
But I do believe sarcasm and wit are where you cross the line and you could be a funny person, but now you're using it in a way that it does damage.
Right.
You got to rein that in.
Yeah.
No problem being funny.
Yeah.
Big problem being quick and sarcastic towards your spouse or other people. Because in a sense, you're talking down to your spouse.
Right.
Because here's what I want you to think. As you interact and you sow seeds of words, contempt communicates, I am above you.
Mm-hmm.
That is never good in marriage, ever. It's just not good. You're not going to feel close, and your marriage will not thrive.
I think some other ones under this contempt would be name-calling, you know, you're pathetic, a mocking tone, talking down to your spouse. And like you said, contempt communicates, I'm above you. And 1 Peter 3:7 just says there's no place for that. It says we are heirs together of the grace of God. We're equal partners in receiving the gift of eternal life and divine grace, which most of us would agree with when it comes to that.
Let me make sure you understand. She's reading verses from a marriage passage where Peter was talking about marriage. So say it again so that everyone listening will know. He's talking about husband and wife when he says this.
We are heirs together of the grace of life, equal partners in receiving the gift of eternal life and divine grace, which, like I said, most of us would agree to, but where it goes south or we get it wrong is we start judging our spouse, usually I found, based on an area that we, quote, feel that we are better in.
Mm-hmm.
Like we look down on our spouse thinking, I'm never late, and look at her. She's not ready. Shouldn't have the four kids ready. Well, you know what? Maybe she needs some of your help.
Yeah.
Or, you know, early in the marriage, I just felt
or
judged.
Or I know where my keys are.
Right, because I lost things. Yes, I still lose
things. Repented.
I've gotten
repented.
Better.
And she's way better.
Yes.
<Yeah. laughs>
But, I mean, your spouse is not stupid. They can sense you're judging them. You're looking down on them. And basically, contempt just communicates, I'm above you. I'm
That's
better
right.
than you. And it's usually areas that we're doing better in that we find our spouse is lacking in.
That's
but
right.
once again, God brought the two of you together, like Brad said before.
Yeah.
It's like dovetail furniture.
Yeah.
Some of our strengths and weaknesses are going to be different.
Yeah. Oh, get a hold of that. Something that would move your marriage off life support towards thrive, in the direction of thrive instead of just survive, would be a mindset of we are co-heirs together of the grace of Christ. Think about how that just sounds like you're both standing on level ground. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Relate to your spouse as an equal, as co-heir, never down, never above, not I am above you. So consider, how have your words perhaps been negative seeds that are planting weeds that are pushing you apart? as that weed comes up of contempt, of sarcasm, of I am above you, you are below me, you're going to feel that they're going to take a few steps back because that weed is choking out love. We're talking about words that give life or they give death. God wants us to use them in a way that it would bring life to your marriage. Oh, you've been listening to Thrive, and we're trying to help you from God's word, not the latest blog, understand what did God say would keep a marriage alive and even make it thrive. Let's use our words for the glory of God and the good of our spouse.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.